on this Invite a Friend Church Sunday. I'm going to explain a little part of the worship service. When we began Dan doing this last month, he said, you know, the worship service, there is a dialogue between God and his people. We begin with God's call to worship. That's the Lord calling us in. We respond with singing. So we've gone back and forth, the dialogue between God and his covenant people, church. But why the singing part? Some of us love the singing part. Some of us don't love the singing part. Why the singing part? And you know, the purpose of life is to glorify and enjoy God. And obviously, the purpose of worship is to glorify and enjoy God. So you glorify God when you praise him. Singing does that. You glorify God when you declare your dependence on him. You glorify God when you obey him. Since he says sing, we glorify him by singing. And we also enjoy him. Because even if you don't think your singing is enjoyable, I hope you think somebody else is. So you enjoy the gifts that he gives to us. He calls us to sing. We also encourage each other. Encourage each other to say, here is a place for delight, for singing. Here's a place to celebrate with Jesus. Transform. So we have this structure, this back and forth. We respond with our singing. But you might still say, okay, I understand that God commands us to sing, and so that's enough reason. He says it, then we'll do it. But why does he want us to sing? I mean, in recent years, in this nice resonant room, our singing's been, you know, pretty good, I think. Praise the Lord, but you know, there's a lot of groups in less conducive environments and the singing's pretty bad. So why do we have to do this? I don't know if you've seen West Side Story. I'm not off topic, I'm still here. But West Side Story is the story of Romeo and Juliet transposed into New York City with gangs and married into a musical. And there's places where you watch it and you're like, this musical does not work. Having gangsters sing about being in a gang. Honestly, when you reject, you don't sing about it. But it goes on a little further, and Tony sees Maria. And then, of course, he goes off and he sings about it. And you're like, okay, now, this is the kind of plot turn that works in the musical. Because of course he's fallen in love. Of course, whether you literally sing or not, you understand the excitement and the exalted feeling and all the possibilities, and music fits that situation. You're like, good, this part of the musical works. When you come to church and sing, it's because your relationship with God, our relationship with God, is the number one covenantal relationship that we have. Marriage is our number one on the horizontal. But in church, we celebrate the new covenant with God. And that's the person who has always been there and will always be there. You say, my wife's always going to be there. Well, actually, she's not. One of you's going to die first. And marriage is just as well. It's your number one covenant relationship, the one with God. So it is right and appropriate. If it makes sense to you that Tony sings about Maria, then it's to make sense to you that we sing about the Lord. For Jesus is the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But you say, well, okay, but I don't feel the joy. By the time I'm done getting all the kids into the car and getting the unhelpful spouse into the car and getting here on time, I am not feeling the joy. And well, let's talk about what we sing here. If you look at the book, you will notice that there are 150. And a funny thing, if you look in this book, there's a book in the middle of it called Psalms, which is interesting, and there's 150 of them. And so if you haven't noticed, actually all the words in this are simply the words drawn from this. And why do we do that? Well, God not only told us to sing, he gave us lyrics. So we think the obvious implication is if he says sing, gives you lyrics, sing the lyrics. easily be demonstrated that he told us to sing those lyrics. Now you can try and have him say to sing something else. That's about what certain is that he told us to sing these lyrics. But really, we're not eager to sing anything else because we find his words are superior. They're inspired by him. And they cover all the emotions. When Christians start writing songs, they tend not to cover all the emotions. And in recent years, they seem to cover fewer and fewer emotions. But you know you come to church with a lot of different emotions. So with God's Word, we see how to express it so that we can see what do I do with this feeling? And how do I bring it to God? How can God speak into my life in this feeling? So we sing the Psalms in this church, because God told us to. If we're inspired by God, they're better. And they cover all those feelings that we do have. This is just one more thing about singing. Why do we sing the way we do here? You say, you know, I have been to a mega church that has better music. Because they have a band, and they have the best singers in front of the microphones, and it's so loud, and nobody else can be heard, so it makes it better music. There you go. You drown out everybody who can't hear it. Okay? So why is everybody singing here? Years ago, a historian in Ohio sent me downtown to the Presbyterian Historical Society to read up on a certain Ohio church's minutes and to read all of the columns that one of their members sent back during the Civil War while he was with the Union Army. So I'm reading along the Civil War correspondent talking about the war in down south somewhere, and suddenly, instead of talking about the war, he's all angry about something that he's heard about in his church. He's saying, no proxy praises, no proxy praises. I'm like, what is this guy talking about? Well, he just heard that they were going to start singing an inquiry to sing at his church. Now, a proxy is when I can't be at the meeting, but Kelly's going to be at the meeting, so I make Kelly my proxy. She'll vote for me. She'll vote her own shares, and she'll vote my shares. Alright? Then she is my proxy. Something new might come up, so I can't vote in advance, but I will empower Kelly to act on my behalf. She will be my proxy. In this Presbyterian, not a Reformed Presbyterian, when this Presbyterian was writing in 1864, no proxy phrases, what he meant is, when I go to church, I should worship God. I shouldn't outsource that to somebody who does it better, because it should be an expression of my heart. No proxy phrases. Let's do it ourselves. Are we not the ones whom God redeemed? Didn't Jesus love me and die for me? Shouldn't I? So, congregational singing is always the norm. But the last objection is obvious. Have you heard me sing? The Lord is so gracious to us, he has you covered. Consider what we've just done. What was that? Somewhere in there I heard us sing that. Alright? It was something, you know what? It was in what I read. We changed it in the psalm book. That's okay. Let's hear the call to worship. Back there in Psalm 95. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. It may sound like a foghorn or a duck, but you can make that a joyful noise. So that is why there is music in the worship of God. He commanded it. He commanded it for an excellent reason. The singing, we bring our whole selves, very visible, body and soul, you could say, have to come together to sing. Bring our whole selves as a whole people to praise the Lord for living.